Genesis 40, The Cupbearer and the Baker. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in the prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole. The birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all of his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that once again he put a cup in the Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretations. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing good, Adam.
This is an interesting chapter, but maybe, I don't know if it's more interesting than the chapter, but this week's rendition of Amazing Grace, as performed by Steven Tyler, is pretty interesting, too.
To be honest, we picked it, you know, right before we did the podcast. So I don't really know, like, the history, like, why. Okay, so in the setting, you guys should look it up. Just look up Amazing Grace by Steven Tyler.
But make sure to get the old one, not the more recent one that he performs at a rehab group.
I need to watch that one, too.
That one's not actually the standard Amazing Grace. It seems to be jazzed up again. But he does. Okay. Steven Tyler does seem to look better at that group than he does in this version from, like, the early 90s or whatever it is.
I mean, look, I don't want to pass judgment on Steven Tyler. He seems like a great man. But it seems like what was happening in that church in the 90s is the reason why he was performing at that rehab in present day. But
that's an accurate assessment.
I want to know why Steven Tyler was at that church, what he was doing there. Maybe he's just a religious guy. Maybe, you know, maybe that's just normal and he went to a little church and sang. I mean, it seemed like everyone was having a great time.
I mean, he does like jewelry a lot. And so, you know, he needs an excuse to wear some crosses.
Yeah.
And some I don't know. I guess it's only crosses. It's just cross necklaces, cross rings. But it's worth watching the video because the woman who is singing with him is very perturbed, seemingly.
Well, she's just having, he's doing his, like, I mean, it is Amazing Grace, and it's Steven Tyler doing his Steven Tyler. And so you can imagine, like, she's been singing the song in church for years, I imagine, and she's having to, like, match Steven Tyler's, like, you know, Steven Tyler-ness.
Well, can you imagine being in a prison and having to match Joseph's Joseph-ness?
Yeah.
Because this is a pretty simple story here. Joseph's still in prison from the last chapter. He got there by his master's wife accusing him of trying to sleep with her. And he's there with some once almost high-level officials. I don't know. Would you call the king's baker an official or the cupbearer?
They do say that Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker.
Literally officials.
Yeah. And maybe because they're the chief. I mean, later on in the story, they talk about the cupbearer bearing wine to him again. So they probably do take shifts as cupbearers and bakers, but they're like the managers, I guess.
Okay.
I guess they manage all of them.
Wait, it says that there are other cupbearers?
Actually, no, I'm making that assumption. Because it's called the chief cupbearer.
Okay.
I don't know. For some reason, it seems like that means there's more than one.
Fair enough.
I mean, Pharaoh probably drinks it all times, all hours of the night and all times of the day. They got to take shifts.
But I doubt he has a lot of concern for the schedule of his officials. This guy's the king.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he also seems to get offended easily. He got offended and put them both in jail.
And then later, skewered one on a pole.
Yeah, it got wild.
So I really expected the dreams that were going to be interpreted by Joseph to just be very clear cut, and for the most part, they're pretty clear. I don't have many of these dreams that are just like full of numbers and symbols.
Well, I never like. I wish I had better dreams. Like, I don't have very good dreams. Like, I have a dream that has a story arc to it and some interesting things happening, but I can never remember. Like, people will say, like, they'll give out, like, colors that people were wearing and, like, again, like, numbers. And, like, I went in here and saw this thing happen and I did this.
Start dream journaling, Daniel.
Yeah, you start dream journaling. Maybe I am remembering it, just, like, I forget it fast, you know?
Yeah, you gotta wake up and write that stuff down. And if you're in prison, you got nothing better to do.
Yeah, then have some dreams.
But the person who maybe has a misstep here is the man who clearly has a bad dream.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're giving out good interpretations. Sign me up.
Hold on. I want to find the baker's dream.
Okay. Well, you could have not interrupted me and waited until you were done talking. Scrolling on your phone.
Yeah.
Well, the baker's dream was just about some branches bearing fruit, right?
Well, here's the baker's dream. That I just read.
Yeah, this new format's working out real well. Yeah, it's
working out wonderful. Anyways, no, he says there's three baskets of bread on his head. They were good. It was good bread for the Pharaoh to eat, and birds kept eating the bread off his head. So yeah, that's a little.
That's dark.
That's dark.
I mean, never do birds. Are they dark birds? Are they ravens?
No, they just say birds, but in my mind, they're going to be ravens.
Okay.
I'm calling them ravens.
Do they have ravens in Egypt?
I feel like there's a scary, like, raven-like bird everywhere in the world.
I hope so. So it's a cupbearer who dreams of some vines that bud and blossom, and then there's fruit and grapes. And yeah, I mean, his dream is super clear. He squeezes the grapes into Pharaoh's cup that have grown off the vine. And, of course, that's cool. So Joseph does some very basic dream interpretation. I don't know if he had to get the Lord involved to figure this out.
He does say, this is kind of interesting, he says, who better to interpret dreams but God, essentially. And then So he's just like saying, well, look, God can do this. And guess, you know, guess who's God's boy? You just happen to be around God's boy.
Yeah, you don't need some fancy specialist for your dreams. God is the ultimate specialist, and I'm his boy.
Yeah. And guess what? I got you. Give me those dreams. And Joseph, in true Joseph fashion, nails it with the dreams. Joseph makes all the right moves, and then he can't close. He just can't close the deal, you know?
Well, the cupbearer, you know, gets a good interpretation, which I don't know why he needed the dream interpreted. I don't want to get into a weird philosophical discussion about fate as determined by the Bible. But if you had the dream, you don't need to know what it means, right? It's just going to happen.
Yeah, if the two guys would have just told each other their dreams and kind of maybe thunk on it a minute, you know, in one dream, okay, my wine gets drank by the Pharaoh again. I smash some wine, give it to him, all happy days. Bread man is over there like, oh, well, in my dream, the birds just eat all the good bread. And Pharaoh gets none. And I wonder what's going to happen.
Although Joseph does get pretty specific with, like, it's easy to say, like, you'll be serving the king wine again. But for the bread guy, there's nothing that leads, like, to the specific of, you'll be impaled on a pole and your head will be cut off. Like, but Joseph nails that as well.
And also, something I just thought about, let's set the scene. They're just sitting in prison. I'm going to go ahead and say they're wherever, you know, Egyptian prison lunch is had. They're there. And so Joseph gives the cupbearer this kind of like.
You think they have like a communal mess hall?
Yeah. Gin pop. It's a gin pop of the Egypt prisons. You know, they're all just hanging out there playing, you know, Egyptian handball or whatever that is, you know, and, you know, the Egyptian version of basketball and lifting weights. There's a guy with a, you know, rocks on the end of a long stick and he's doing some chest presses, you know, back there, you know, on one side, and they're just, you know, just chit-chatting on the table playing,
okay,
with stone cards.
Yeah, totally buy it.
You know, it's Flintstone shit. He gives this like, he's like wonderful, like, oh yeah, cupbearer, everything's gonna work out great. You're gonna be serving wine. You're gonna be good. And then the bread guy's like, oh no, tell me mine. What good things are gonna happen to me? Like, no, your head's gonna be
your head will be lifted off. You think that's like a space shuttle? Because that'd be kind of cool.
You never want your head to be lifted off. That sounds like what an old junkie would tell you. Be like, yeah, this stuff's gonna lift your head off.
Sounds like what the Hulk would do in a Tarantino film,
huh?
He just grab a head and lift it off.
You know? That, I mean, that would be a cool way to. I wish the Marvel movies were rated R. That'd be fun.
That's it, man. There's nothing else in this chapter.
But no, it's just Joseph is a 500 horsepower engine that can only get 200 to the back tires. Like he can't close. Like he does this great thing for the cupbearer, interprets his dream, gives him the good news, and the cupbearer just like, Joseph who? I forget him. Who even remembers that man?
Well, I think maybe he forgot on purpose. You know, he didn't want to stretch his favors as the I don't know what power you have as the chief cupbearer, but I think busting someone out of the who's cow. What does the who's cow mean? Is that a safe word to use?
I've never heard that
word
before.
Never heard the who's cow as jail?
No.
I think it's used in like westerns or something. And you know, all those cowboy movies have aged real well.
Yeah, there's a lot of words like that that I try to. I'm wondering about these days.
Let's get into it.
Look it up.
So anyway, yeah, I think that would be all of his favors. I wonder if the cupbearer will get some comeuppance at any point.
Well, I think a lot of these people have got to get their comeuppance. Like, I already forgot his name, but the you know, official from the last guy that
Potiphar.
Potiphar, who just screwed over Joseph for no reason.
If he did, it would be the return of Potiphar.
That was the best of the three movies. No, and yeah, these people, because Joseph just keeps doing nice things, and then everyone's just like taking advantage of the poor boy.
Well, there's no indication as to how he's going to get out of this this jail here. I guess he'll just keep doing nice things. And hopefully in upcoming chapters, he'll be rescued.
I don't know. I'm excited. Like, if I were, so I'll just jump into my ratings from 1 to 5 Baker heads.
I thought it was going to be loaves of bread or branches of grapes.
I give this one. I'm loving this. I'm loving the Joseph story. I kind of understand why Broadway people made a musical about it.
Well, as far as all these big Bible stories so far, this is the only one that seems to have enough substance to make a feature film out of. And although I have seen Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. I mean, really, the thing I think about most is Prince of Egypt. Right? Is this Prince of Egypt stuff or no? That's Moses.
Yeah, no, that may be Moses. Well, I'm now realizing that I'm not using my Disney Plus subscription to its fullest. Is that Disney?
Yeah, that's Moses. My bad.
Yeah, that's Moses. Because I don't think I watched Prince of Egypt.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Show that movie to a person who grew up secular. It will blow their mind.
Yeah. You should have seen the face Adam put on. Like, what? Oh, you got to. Let's stop this podcast right now and turn on Prince of Egypt.
Dude, it's got some nice, it's got better music than the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
But I'm going to give this a 3 heads and an ear.
Just one extra ear? Mm-hmm. So how much of a percentage of a head is that?
Of an ear?
Yeah.
0.05.
Okay. 3.05.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 3 heads. And a nose, but it's going to be my nose, so it's going to be a 3.25 because I got a honker on me.
It is about a quarter of your face.
Well, I guess it's going to be a short episode this go round. But you know, if you're hungry for content out there, you can always check us out at Hosted Pod on Instagram, twitch.tv/hostedpod. Got some recordings from some streams from Schaefer cooking up stuff, Daniel 3D printing stuff. I don't know if I'm on there yet. I might be.
And always get ready for Adam's still untitled Twitch stream that's coming.
And send your complaints to hostedpod@gmail.com. You know, we recently got an email, and since this episode's a little short, maybe I'll read it.
Ooh, first mailbag.
This is the very first email sent to our email address that hasn't been spam.
Yeah.
All right. This is from an anonymous listener. I definitely have no idea who it is. Hello, heathens. I wanted to say that your episode, Genesis 34, Violence and Circumcision, is one of my favorites so far. I had never heard of this chapter before, and as a woman, it was very satisfying to hear such justice for the horrible thing that happened to Dinah. Sure, some might say that there was not a reason to deceive and murder on such a grand scale as a result to what happened to Dinah. I personally disagree. I think it was completely justified and creative, and cannot wait for the movie. I would rate this episode as a 5.
Oh,
keep up the good, godly work. Signed, Big Heathen Fan.
Well, thank Heathen Fan.
Thank you very much.
And I got just a gut feeling from reading that email that person, if we had messed up that episode, would definitely have told us. just a gut feeling. So that I am happy that they approve of our, because I mean, just I remember back to that story. We're gonna run into a lot of those like stories in the Bible. Uh-huh. And it does worry you because I mean, we've said this before, we like this subject because we can make fun of our own culture here and not really offend anybody but people we are okay with offending, but those little stories are kind of scary because it's like, I don't want to, it's like taking this horrible old stuff and putting in modern ears on it.
Yeah, we thought we found a safe thing to talk about without being offensive, and then we just realized we're generally offensive and uneducated people.
We studied theater and film in college, not real stuff.
Well, enjoy the beautiful sounds of Steven Tyler taking us out, and have a great time. A great time.
We're professionals. Bye-bye.
The sound.